Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. Beautiful, beautiful week of fall mists on the lake early in the morning. You wake up in the morning, your window is open, you've got a little extra blanket over you, the smell of fall outside, and then you smell your coffee from your amazing new coffee maker, which makes you coffee exactly at 6 o'clock. It's all ready for you. You go downstairs, you add to the smell of coffee the smell of toast, and then you scramble eggs for your daughter. She's got to get off to school. She comes downstairs, 16, you make her some scrambled eggs the way she likes them, not too loose, with little chips of overdone bacon in it, dry, crispy bacon and a glass of orange juice. She comes and she sits down at the table with you and your coffee. And she asks you about the American colonies during the Revolution and what were they disagreeing about, which is one of the beauties of having a 16-year-old in the house. Ordinarily, you would not think about this. At 6:30 in the morning, you'd think about Syria or Iraq, but now you're thinking about the colony. She never asks you things about the 21st century, but the 18th, yes. And so you tell her, well, you know, some of them were more enthusiastic about the revolution than others, and they had to work their way towards it, and the little colonies didn't want to be stepped on by the big colonies, same as now. And she listens to you as you speak with authority about something you know nothing about. And then that day you go off and you do some 18th century things. You chop, split some wood, and you go to the orchard and you buy a half a bushel of apples. It's fall, which is timeless, absolutely, absolutely timeless. As is the gospel. Last Sunday at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church, the gospel was the verse in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus tells his people to be forgiving and to forgive others 70 times 7, which is a lot of forgiveness. Pastor Liz gave the sermon. She's filling in still now while the search committee looks for a new pastor to replace Pastor Haugen, who just disappeared at the beginning of the summer. And she preached about forgiveness, and it was hard. Take responsibility for the crap in the world. And don't blame this all on other people. You have responsibility too. And be forgiving. If we don't forgive other people, then we'd make no progress in this life. We're just always going around in a circle. Forgiveness is the start of something new. It's good for you. When she was talking about forgiveness, the congregation sort of glanced over towards Marlene, the church secretary, was sitting there in the third pew from the front where she always sits. Marlene, 3 days before, the Wednesday before Sunday, she was walking down the street past Our Lady of Perpetual Responsibility when Father Wilmer was bitten by 7 bees in the old shed out behind the church. He was power washing it, and suddenly he let out a cry as Marlene was walking along. She walked over there. He came bursting out. He still had bees under his shirt. He was ripping his clothes off. He was filthy. He wanted to take a shower. She called the rescue squad, and she followed him into the rectory because he did not look well at all. He was in the bathroom. He was naked. He saw her there, and he let out a yelp. He tried to cover himself with a towel. Nakedness means nothing to Marlene. She spent 2 years working at the VA hospital catheterizing old vets. I mean, this is nothing unusual. She was helping him, and then he passed out on the floor of the shower. She lifted him up. She sat him down on a stool. She got a cold, damp cloth. She put it on his forehead. She had her arm around him as the rescue squad came bursting in, and Clint Bunsen was the first one through the door. He said to her, "What are you doing here?" And she said, "Father Wilmer and I have been carrying on a passionate romance for 2 years. And I don't care who knows about it." And Clint said, oh, yeah, sure, right. And they got him on a gurney and they took him away. But she had a tone of truthfulness in her voice. And he thought about it, and he mentioned it to a few other people. And in a small town, these things get around. And they all looked at Marlene. And Marlene looked at them with a big grin on her face. It was an interesting moment. Other people looked at the Anderson family, who were sitting about two rows behind Marlene. Mrs. Anderson has come out with a new CD. It's called These Boots Are Still Walking. She's 64 years old, and the picture of her on the cover of the CD is she's in a mini, mini skirt, and she's wearing this very low-cut phosphorescent blouse, and she's got a cowboy hat on and red boots on. And there she is in all her glory. The Sons of Canute canceled their 4th of July amateur talent show 5 years ago because Mrs. Anderson was in all of the shows, and every show she would come and she would sing These Boots Are Made for Walking. And now she's got this on a CD, and there's going to be a CD release party this coming week at the Sidewinder Bar out near Millet, and everybody's gotten invitations, and what do you do? Her husband Danny has let it be known he's going to be up north fishing on that day. Her children are very unhappy about all of this. She is a remarkable woman. She has a remarkable skill of being able to sing consistently flat. Every note that she sings is about a quarter tone flat. She's all the way through. You wait for her to accidentally hit a note, and she never does. And she sings loud. She loves to sing. People who are gifted, you know, are modest about their gift, and they're very anxious about any little tiny mistakes that they make. And Mrs. Anderson is nothing but a mistake. And she loves to sing. She sings with complete joy, as it says in Scripture, whatever you do, do it with your whole heart. She does. People looked over at her and her children, who were embarrassed. And then a horrible smell arose from the congregation, and it drifted slowly up towards the front of the room where Pastor Liz stood at the lectern. This horrible, horrible stench. And we saw Mrs. Anderson chuckling to herself. And we saw Danny sit down quickly and cross his legs. Horrible. When you let a fart, you own the room for a while. And there was no point in going on with the sermon whatsoever. So they just skipped ahead to the Nicene Creed, and everybody stood except Danny remained seated, and they said the creed. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. So that was the message. This is the time of year when people build bonfires. They have stored up some brush and some scrap lumber, and they build bonfires one or two every night in the fall. And people are in a mood to stand outside around a fire. And when you see somebody's bonfire, you feel this primal urge to go and stand by it. Even if these are neighbors you don't get along with, even if these are neighbors whose political views drive you up the wall, even though these are neighbors whose children don't get along with your children, you still are welcome at a bonfire. It's about forgiveness, you see. And you stand around the bonfire, and maybe somebody comes out of the house with a big tray of marshmallows and graham crackers and chocolate and passes them around. Maybe somebody else tries to start some singing. You know, people who are camp counselors and who like to boss people around, and they try and get everybody to sing She'll Be Coming Round the Mountain or Amazing Grace or something, and people will go along with it for a while. But really what we just want to do is stand and look at the flames and feel that we're part of this group. We're not in the 21st century anymore. We're druids, and we belong to these people. This is our tribe. We belong here. No matter what's happened in the past, these are our people, there are no delusions of grandeur in this bunch whatsoever. No, sir. There were delusions of grandeur in the Tollerud's rooster, who came to a sad end here this last week. You may have heard about this, I don't know. This was their rooster, who they call Ludwig, because every morning he'd go out and crow, and every morning he would go out and he would crow. He would crow Beethoven every morning. It was unmistakable. They made a video of him, and they sent it into a cable TV show called Amazing Animals. And they sent out a talent scout and a camera crew, and they stood around for 24 hours waiting for Ludwig to make his Beethoven crow, and he wouldn't make a sound. The Tollerudes were jumping up and down and waving their arms, and they were scattering feed corn around, and he wouldn't open his beak whatsoever. The camera crew went back to Chicago, and then the next morning, Ludwig was back crowing Beethoven again, just like other people in this town. When it comes right down to it, the big moment, we fail. It happens all the time. The crucial free throw, and everything depends on this free throw. We can't even hit the backboard. We're going to miss. We're capable of tremendous feats of perseverance over long periods of time. We're capable of kindness and forgiveness. But the big heroic deed, we fail over and over and over again. The rooster and us as well. Well, it's been 143 days since the last snowfall in Minnesota. About ready for something else. They say it's going to be a long, hard winter. Can't wait for it to start. That's when we show what we're made of. We thrive in adversity. That's us, people from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.